In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve, it's been ages.
It's been ages. There's been so much going on. I can't wait to tell you about all the places I've been and the things that I've done.
Okie dokie.
I've been to the kitchen. I've been to the water closet. That's kind of it. Oh, the lounge as well. The lounge.
The couch. You guys?
What about the escapism that is TV, though?
Well, I have definitely fallen through that glass prism. And come through the other side. There's so much good stuff to tell you guys about. And why don't we start with a film from a few years ago. Some of the listeners may have seen this already. It had its world premiere at the New Zealand International Film Festival, but it is now on TVNZ On Demand. And it is a movie called Bludgeon, as in hitting someone with something. And it's a documentary about New Zealand medieval combat enthusiasts put on armor and smash the living shit out of each other. It's real good.
Is it King of Kong good, or?
You know what? It's kind of a little bit in that terrain because...
Is there a goodie and a baddie?
Let's face it, I thought you were sort of more leaning towards the fact that you might need to be, have a specific type of personality to get into this. Which is definitely the case. But yeah, there's some heroes and villains. I think with any kind of competitive doco, we welcome seeing people who take things too seriously, because that's obviously, you know, the kind of hubris that can end in hilarious tragedy. But the great thing is, this isn't just a bunch of men getting angry about, you know, video games. This is actually a bunch of men getting angry and then
it's full contact.
Finally smashing each other with big pieces of metal while they're wearing metal.
I feel like a lot of these guys have forged the metal themselves as well.
Yeah, there's a specialist sub-industry of metal workers involved behind the scenes of this. What's kind of cool about this is it's kind of weird to see, and I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on why this is, but kind of seeing a bunch of Kiwisms and a bunch of Kiwi blokes getting into this medieval combat's kind of funny to start with. You know, we've got a very laid-back kind of attitude. But the doco follows this New Zealand team as they go and compete internationally. And boy, some of those international medieval combat guys are not so easygoing. And, you know, one might even speculate that there's a bit of historic nationalism that's not so attractive there as well. Not looking at you, Scandinavia, or Europe at all in this, but...
I'm seeing a Tangata Whenua flag flying low in the preview.
You know, that definitely does not seem like it has much in common with Robin of Sherwood style, does it?
No.
But it all comes together. So if you think you've watched everything, check out Bludgeon. You can find it on TVNZ On Demand.
Oh, the dude in the armor running on the treadmill was definitely a highlight. a flaming sword. Watching this. Okay, good.
How do you get in shape for a medieval combat tournament? You get in the treadmill in your armor.
Fuck yeah.
They're bashing one another.
It does not look like fun, but it's a really fun watch.
Good luck locking down these jokers. Hey, John. Hey, John boy.
Something I was really keen to talk about last week, but obviously wasn't around to do so, was Questlove from the Roots' documentary Summer of Soul. This is a docker that he made about the Harlem Cultural Festival in 1969.
Oh, you mentioned it the other day.
Yeah, and I finally got around to watching it, and it blew my socks off. I've got to say, if you're a music fan, you haven't lived until you've watched a 19-year-old Stevie Wonder play the drums, slash a 19-year-old Stevie Wonder play the keyboards. If you've ever been given to the conspiracy theory that you can see, this may fuel that fire. But also, I was thinking, I'm probably not best qualified to comment. Be interested to hear your thoughts if you check this out. But his drumming style does seem like it's a little bit unorthodox. A lot of rhythm, a lot of feel, but I'm not sure he always does know where that exact unit of the kit may be. Also in here is... flaming hot performance from Sly and the Family Stone, but basically all the performances are really great. The doco also sort of dips into why we actually don't know about this festival. 300,000 people went to it, but it's kind of just been forgotten by history, even though someone filmed it all. And basically, well, you can find out the answer by watching it, but along the way you'll see a whole bunch of cool performances. So these are nice ways to get out into the world from the couch, you know? This is engaging with some stuff that you don't have at home.
Sorry, where's Summer of Soul on? Is it on Amazon?
You can find that one on Disney Plus.
Okay. All right.
For those who feel a bit uncomfortable on the sofa, not because they've got bad furniture, but because of what they're watching, the great HBO show Succession returns to screen next week. This comes back on Monday, and I've had the elitist privilege of watching a couple of episodes of the new third season. But what I can tell you is that if you're anything like me and you can barely remember life before this COVID period, or everything seems really long ago, you're probably going to watch the last few episodes of season two to kind of catch up with everything that's actually going on in the show. It ended on a big cliffhanger, and I spent a lot of the first episode of season three trying to figure out what the hell was actually going on and what these plot lines were. So I recommend you back and reacquaint yourselves with that before diving in. Let's put it this way. Season three is not the place to start watching the show if you are uninitiated. But yes, it truly is one of the best things on telly.
Okay. I gave it a go, but sort of tapped out after maybe 5 episodes of the first season.
That was a good stretch. It didn't stick with me at first either, but I think I might have done the first episode, and it felt like a bit of an Americanized version of a good British show, you know, maybe something by Amanda Iannucci. It really kind of got its evil capitalist greed tentacles into me.
Hey, Steve, you might know, my flatmate was watching a sort of a series as I was walking out the door today, and it had that funny ass dude from Parks and Rec with the moustache in it. It's kind of playing a serious role. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, was that sci-fi-ish?
Yeah, sci-fi. Yeah, he was saying it's sci-fi.
Yeah, so this is a show called, I'm presuming this is a show. It's a show called Devs.
Yeah.
This is from a couple of years ago.
Looked like it was shot really well.
Yeah, this is a super swanky looking show. It's by Alex Garland, who's the writer-director of Ex Machina.
Raw Rad, okay.
Annihilation. This is, you know, real kind of head-crunching, cerebral sci-fi.
Okay.
I loved the show, and what's the best way to sum it up? It's about a San Francisco tech company, like a kind of Google-sized company, and Nick Offerman is the the founder, kind of CEO of this company, and they're running this huge quantum computing experiment to do, that has such enormous computing power, it can do things that basically seem impossible. I won't give too much away, but it's a real head fuck of a show. It's great. I loved it.
Okay, cool. Rad.
And pleasingly, and I think partly because Alex Garland was an author before becoming a filmmaker, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And unlike a kind of a Lost or something, this is not something that's, you know, it's never intended to go on forever. It all wraps up, and you go,
I appreciate that.
That was satisfying. Instead of, why are you dragging this out? Which is, you know, never a good feeling.
That's what you want, don't you? Satisfaction at the end of the film.
You really do.
Why can't we just do satisfaction? Just that. So I believe, I'm just going to double check this now, I believe that in New Zealand that is living over on Neon.
Okay.
For your entertainment. But this is not one to watch late at night or too impaired, because it is pretty complicated and you just want to make sure all your wits are about you when you check it out. The other thing I'll mention, I haven't actually worked up the courage to watch this yet, for obvious reasons, but on Friday, Netflix treated, I don't know if this is the right word, treated the world to Diana the Musical, which is a Broadway show that is opening sometime. It's been delayed by the pandemic, but they've shot the performance and put it on Netflix before opening the doors to the public, which seems like a strange order of doing things for a musical. But yes, it is a musical about Princess Diana. There are songs about paparazzi and
oh, man.
Infidelity and ginger-headed children. I'm terrified, but in a shameless plug, I will direct you over to flicks.co.nz, where BFM's Amelia Berry wrote a review of Diana the Musical that might be more entertaining than watching it. So, look, I'm keen to hear from any listeners who have tackled this endurance feat. I know that Tim Batt and Guy Montgomery exchanged some thoughts about whether they could stand watching it, and as two professionals in the arena of watching terrible things, I am guided by their uncertainty in this area.
Nice.
What's been good for you guys?
Nice, actually.
we're watching the trailer and it looks terrible, so
that's probably as far as you need to go, really.
Take the trailer straight to here, surely. Come on. Don't keep it to yourself.
We're actually pretty busy at the moment, mate. We've got a lot on, so just skip to the bit, just where the bit where she goes through the tunnel.
I mean, you know, look, it would be so tempting to write this off as a car crash of a musical, but it would be too cheap.
Oh.
Amelia does note there's a quote. She does quote from one of the songs when there's paparazzi with Cockney accents declaring that photographing Diana is, quote, better than a Guinness, better than a wank. Yeah, it's up there with Phantom of the Opera and the classy musical stakes, it would seem.
And now, Steve, just going back to your question, I dipped into my first episode of Bad Sport.
What was the question?
Netflix. What have we been watching?
Didn't remember him asking that.
I watched the episode about the ice skating.
I feel like you're kind of just forcing this a little bit.
Pretty funny.
This is cheats and crooks in sport.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guts of this.
Basically. Good episode.
Nice.
It's great.
Do you know, do you have a sense of what the other, what the kind of scope of the sports coming up?
It's all
be?
Over the show. Football, basketball, car racing. Just sort of great sort of sporting scandals.
Nice.
So yeah, just dipping into some easy washing.
I can see where that fits into my what kind of particular viewing requirements that's going to fulfill, which is good.
Seems crazy that you didn't watch the heavyweight fight that was on the weekend, John, if you're watching these things.
I don't have pay-per-view.
Still seems crazy.
Wow. Dan, what have you got up your sleeve?
Yep.
Cool.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much. And we will check in with you next week, mate.
Bloody good. Bye-bye.
Toodles.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.